William Morrow and Harper Audio present Rules at the School by the Sea, the second School by the Sea novel by Jenny Colgan, performed by Jilly Bond.
Chapter 1. Maggie was dancing on a table. This was distinctly out of character, but they had served her cocktails earlier in a glass so large she was surprised it didn't have a fish in it. Plus, it was a beautifully soft, warm evening, and her fiancé Stan had insisted on watching the football on a large Sky Sports screen, annoyingly situated over her head in the Spanish bar, so there wasn't much else to do. And all the other girls were dancing on tabletops. "I'm still young," Maggie had thought to herself, pushing her unruly dark hair out of her eyes. "I'm only 26 years old. I can still dance all night." And with the help of a friendly hen party from Stockport on the next table, she'd found herself up there, shrugging off any self-consciousness with the help of a large margarita and grooving away to alphabet.
"Hey, I can't see the game,"
Stan complained. "I don't care," said Maggie, suddenly feeling rather freer, happy, and determined to enjoy her holiday. She raised her arms above her head. This was definitely a good way to forget about school. To forget about David MacDonald, the English teacher she'd developed a crush on last year, until she'd found out he was engaged. To just feel like herself again, instead of a teacher. "Isn't that Miss Adair?" said Hattie. They'd been allowed down into the town for the evening from the discreet and beautifully appointed villa they'd been staying in high on the other side of the mountain. Her younger sister Fliss turned round from where she'd been eyeing up fake designer handbags and glanced at the tacky-looking sports pub Hattie was pointing out. Inside was a group of drunk-looking women waving their hands in the air. "No way!" exclaimed Fliss, heading towards the door for a closer look. "I'm going in to check." "You're not allowed in any bars," said Hattie. "I promise Mum and Dad." "I promise Mum and Dad," mimicked Fliss. "I'm 14, you know. That's pretty much the legal drinking age over here." "Well, whilst you're with me, you'll obey family rules." Fliss stuck out her tongue and headed straight for the bar. "You're not a prefect now." "No, but we're in a position of trust, and..." Fliss stopped short in the doorway.
"Hello, señorita," said the doorman.
Fliss had grown 2 inches over the summer, although to her huge annoyance she was still barely filling an A cup. Maggie and the girls from Stockport were shimmying up and down to the Pussycat Dolls when she saw Fliss. At first she thought it was a trick of the flashing lights. It couldn't be. After all, they'd come all this way to leave her work behind, so she could feel like a girl, not a teacher. So surely it couldn't be one of her... "Miss Adair!" shrieked Fliss. "Is that you, miss?" Maggie stopped dancing. "Felicity Prosser," she said, feeling a resigned tone creep into her voice. She looked around, wondering what would be the most dignified way to get down from the table under the circumstances. Normally, Veronica Deverell found the Swiss Alps in summertime a cleansing balm for the soul. The clean, sharp air you could draw all the way down into your lungs, the sparkle of the grass and the glacier lakes, the cyclists and rosy-cheeked all-year skiers heading for higher ground, the freshly washed sky. She always took the same pension, and liked to take several novels. She favoured the lengthy intrigues of Anthony Trollope, and was partial to a little Joanna for light relief, and luxuriate in the time to devour them, returning to Downey House rested, refreshed, and ready for the new academic year. This year, however, had been different. After her shock at meeting the son she gave up for adoption nearly 40 years ago, Veronica had handled it badly, and they had lost contact. And although there were budgets to be approved, a new intake to set up and staffing to be organised, she couldn't concentrate. All she seemed to do was worry about Daniel and wonder what he was doing back in Cornwall. She was staring out the window of her beautiful office before term was due to start when Dr. Robert Fitzroy, head of Downey Boys over the hill...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?